This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll free at 1-800-447-4463. If you're listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Hello there, and welcome to Party Line on this Tuesday. Let's take our sponsors off the bat. They are Welty Custom Exteriors, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, Simple Time Antiques, your Edward Jones advisor, Brett Capps, Ivy Tech Community College, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, and Encompass Credit Union. I'm Kevin Keith with WILO Morning Man Todd Berryman joining me. Todd, good morning.
Morning. How go things for you?
I'm going very well this morning.
You came in a little early to take care of some business. So
yeah.
I know that...
That's all right. An extra 5 to 8 minutes doesn't bother me at all.
5 to 8. Don't let them fool you.
Doesn't bother me at all.
By the way, National Scrabble Day today.
Yeah?
Do you play?
I haven't for quite a while.
There was a... I'm just thinking about it because it's National Scrabble Day. I remember that there was a thing. We had a story back at the place I used to work at that you used to work at.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to the news guy at the time on the air, and somebody said that the highest scoring word that you could use on Scrabble, if you hit a triple word score or whatever, mm-hmm. was Zizziva.
Okay.
And it's Z-Y-Z-Z-Y-V-A. Do you see any problems with that word for Scrabble? There's a key thing. Remember the letter sequence I gave you, Z-Y-Z-Z-Y-V-A.
That doesn't mean anything to me because I don't recall, like, rules or what is there or isn't.
It's not even a rule. There's only one Z in a Scrabble bag. To do that, you'd have to cheat. This would be...
Oh, okay. Just one. Yeah, okay.
So it's like, okay, thanks.
Had one up your arm, up your sleeve or something.
It's like, thanks, New York Times, but no, you're wrong. It's like Xerox. Well, there's only one X in the Scrabble bag, so good luck.
Right.
There's only one Q.
Unless you have one hiding up your sleeve, right? Like an old card trick or something.
Here's my fifth
clink,
ace.
Clink, 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 yeah, right. Well, welcome to the program. Ken is out and about. He's at County Council this morning. Boy, this is hard to keep track of.
He was out late last
night. Yeah, he's had like 7 meetings in the first 2 days of the week. Not
which
quite 7.
Which for a growing boy, like I don't know how he does that.
He's got to get his supper. So anyway, Ken was at a city council meeting last night that was a couple hours. And before that, I think Board of Works and then at County Council this morning. So there's a lot going on. And if you go to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, he has been able to write a story this morning so we can know what's going on in Clinton County. And as Todd mentioned, I came in just a hair early to sit down with Kim, and we're going to play a little 6-minute snippet that we recorded prior to going on the air this morning. That's just kind of a recap of last night's city council meeting, which a lot of things got taken care of with the pool, the police station, and some other things for Iron Block Building, which we'll talk about in a moment. First, the Skywatch weather forecast is sunshine today. This will probably be the nicest day of the week. 63 is going to be the daytime high. Partly cloudy tonight, low at 40. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 57. And sunshine Thursday, too, high 56. Don't let it fool you, though. It will be down in the upper 30s for the next couple nights. It's 42 now from your official weather station, WILO. Coming up at 8:45 this morning, we'll be talking with Adam Shanks with the Purdue Extension Office on Leading with Hope and Vision, brought to you by WILO and the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. And then at 9 o'clock this morning, sitting down for our monthly discussion with the Frankfort Community Public Library. Not for sure if it'll be Greg. Sometimes he'll send in one of the ladies or the other employees to call and talk about their specific things they're doing at the libraries. They have a large staff there. They just do an unbelievable amount of things. So this week, don't forget on WILO, be listening with that guy over there, Todd Berryman. He's got family four-pack tickets for Indiana Beach.
Which have been quite the hot ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're getting people from Fisher's calling in.
Yeah, right.
That's competing on your home turf, y'all, so you better step the heck up.
That's right. Get us on speed dial.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Indiana Beach in your life?
You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to go, but it just wasn't practical in southern Indiana.
Yeah, same here. And I always, we always went to Santa Claus Land, which became Holiday World, right?
I miss the old Santa Claus Land. I know that it's larger now, but it was kind of that funky, well, you can't really go to Kings Island, but here's some awesome stuff anyway.
Yeah.
And okay, for nickel and dime Mexican food, it's actually really good.
Yeah. The thing about Holiday World is we took the kids last summer, and I think it was last summer, or maybe the summer before. I don't know. I think we went during COVID. I'm not certain. I think it was last summer.
Well, and now they cover all the holidays. It's not just Christmas now. It's like
Ramadan's
in there.
Right. So anyway, we went last summer, and, you know, it's cool because they've got several rides now, as you said.
Yeah.
All kinds of things for the kids. They have free drinks, free sunscreen.
Drinks thing paid for itself right quick.
Yeah. They have, like, concierge people to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was an app that you could download that had, you could, like, get in line for a ride through the app, which really sounds confusing but wasn't. And then you're able to go in there and purchase something from the gift shop.
Yeah.
You might pay $7 for a piece of pizza. But overall, you could have a pretty good time at it. And it's well worth it to get in there because there's a lot of rides. So here's the thing, though. Going back to, we were driving home, and I thought, man, that was a nice vacation thing. Yeah, no, it did all right. But here's the thing. I remember going there as a kid.
Yeah.
It would be mom, a neighborhood lady who had a kid or something.
Yep.
They'd ride down together, and their kid would come with me and my brothers, you know. So they just pile us all in a car. You get down there, which is a you know, there's no quick way to get there.
It's like
right?
a 2.5 hour drive from Salem.
Anywhere, yeah. So you get down there. Of course, mom's trying to save a few dollars, so she packs a lunch, right? So we get lunch meat and have some drinks and everything. And I remember it just, you know, we were kids. We weren't acting good or anything like that.
Who does?
Yeah, I know.
At that age, Kevin.
But I just think about what all my mom went through to get us down there for like 6 rides.
Yeah.
You know? It is big production of a full day of things and then drive all the way back with, you know, 4 stinky kids in the back of the car. And then
you smell like chlorine.
So I was just thinking about it on our drive back last week or last summer, it was nice, you know.
Now, when you took the kids there, did they still have I haven't been there in a few years. Mm-hmm. Did they still have the Pilgrim Suicide Drop or whatever it was?
Pilgrim Plunge.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Pilgrim Plunge, yeah.
Did you dodge that bullet or did you have to get on that one?
No, I rode it several years ago.
See, the line was too long when I went there back in my former marriage, and the kids were so gung-ho about it, and I thought, that's going to kill me. And we got there, and of course, the line was all the way out to the come and have a giant turkey leg booth.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. One of those. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, good, I get to escape the Pilgrim Suicide Plunge. So great. I still don't want to ride it. I have no interest. Now that I've broken 40, I'm just like, you know what? Y'all can have my fun.
Well, I'll be 47 here in less than a month, and I'm going to take the kids to Indiana Beach this summer.
Yeah, see, and that's a good, good place to go.
It'll be their first and my first. And so tomorrow morning, if I'm not mistaken, Ken and I will be talking with the new owner.
So, yeah, so they've got new ownership, and they've, I guess, done some
a lot of cleaning
buff and
up
polish, and it's going
to
be good.
Maybe a new rider too. I think there was a roller coaster there. So anyway, Todd Berryman will have a family 4-pack the remainder of this week, and then all next week. Make sure you're listening afternoons to Bill Gant, as he'll have family 4-packs to give away all week too.
I should pass you an extra pair to give away during the party line tomorrow when he's here.
Extra pair of
tickets.
Oh, no, that's all right.
That'd be fun on the replays, people phoning at midnight.
Yeah. Hey, Russ, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I wanted to give you a very important Prairie Grass Observatory update that happened in the last 24 hours. But first, I'd love to share with you my favorite amusement park stories.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to hear that.
Well, five of us went out to Los Angeles to see the UCLA, I mean, to see the playoffs for the NCAAs back in the 70s. And we knew that Indiana University was going to win, you know. So we, in Albuquerque, went into a Sears store, and on all 25 TV sets, we saw them lose. So we dashed our plans to go to the Final Four. But we did go, all five of us went to Disneyland, not Disney World, because remember we're in...
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So one thing I learned is Peter Kalyanov set us up with double dates. He was from L.A., and he was with us. He went to IU with me. And he set us all with double dates. And what I learned was when you get 10 people, five guys and five ladies, and you're all sticking together, it does not work. I've got to go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. I don't want to go on that ride. I want to go on that ride. You know, that's too, you know, I'm not going to get my hair wet. And I finally learned, we finally figured out after about 2 hours of this, you can't go to an amusement park with 10 people in one group. It does not work. So we split off into five groups of two, and that made all the difference in the world. We had a great time. So anyway, that was story number one. Now, number two, Prairiegrass Observatory. I don't have all the details yet, but I can tell you that we had a major breakthrough yesterday, and we'll release the details. But what this is going to allow is we're going to be able to go to, say, for instance, Wesley Manor with a laptop and automatically open up one of the domes remotely and search the skies and show people the heavens remotely with no one at Prairiegrass Observatory.
All right. Very nice.
So that's going to be uber cool.
Okay. Boy, I'm feeling a little HoosierlandTV.com on that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll be able
video.
To do that, too.
Wow, nice.
No copyright problems there. God will not mind us showing the glory of the heavens.
Uh-huh.
And no copyright problems there.
All right, very good. Well, Russ, thanks for the memory this morning.
No charge.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. We are expecting Adam Shanks here, and I still want to get to my five-minute discussion with Ken. However, we've got Dr. Tharp, and I'm going to go ahead and say this is the WILO and Clinton County Chamber of Commerce, Leading with Hope and Vision. Dr. Tharp, what's the latest this morning? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be able to call in for you today. Yeah, I think the big news today would be that the FDA has asked us to put the Johnson & Johnson vaccine on pause briefly while they reevaluate things. And so that's got to be probably the number one thing this morning. The vaccine is being investigated for blood clotting problems, we're all kind of waiting to see what they have to say about that. That's very late breaking news, I think.
Yeah, and what about is there anyone who, maybe in the area who's already got that that vaccine? What should they know about or think about anything?
Well, first of all, it's extremely rare. We've given over 6 million doses. And we've had six people identified with this problem. So far, it has been only in ladies. And in fact, it's only been in women who are still young enough to be not going through the change in life. So it's premenopausal women, they, you know, we do understand the mechanism a little bit, hopefully they're going to decide. But there's only been six identified, and so that's one in a million chance.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly higher, perhaps, than the Hoosier Lottery megabucks lottery, but it is certainly something to consider. The other thing is that it has occurred only in the first 10 days after the vaccine. So once you get beyond that point, we haven't seen any issues. Anybody who had the vaccine earlier is beyond that time.
I saw where Indiana's closing in on 1.5 million fully vaccinated people. Where does that put Indiana on the hopes of herd immunity? I'd heard that maybe Texas would be reaching herd immunity this week.
Well, you know, there's a lot of discussion about where one reaches that herd immunity point. So you have to count both vaccines as well as cases as you're making that calculation. And we have over 6 million people in Indiana. So when you compare the number of vaccine doses to the people, we have about 20 to 25% vaccinated. It probably takes at least 70 to 75% to be considered in that herd immunity kind of situation. So we're pretty far away from that. I think the vaccine is clearly a much faster way to protect yourself, and we would encourage you to be doing that.
Anything else we need to know, Dr. Tharp, here on a local level other than continue on with doing the right thing? I know we see other states around us like Michigan and Illinois. You know, we hear bad things about wanting to shut them back down and stuff with more surges in those states.
Yes, and that is concerning. Here in Indiana, we're still doing relatively well. We've seen a slight rise in cases, but we're still in the yellow designation. We've converted our testing to a drive-up situation at the fairgrounds, and so people can stay in their cars and get tested. And that allows us to open up the building to a larger population of people to come in to get the vaccine. So our vaccine clinic is open, and we are doing Moderna vaccines, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
What we are seeing is that as things have opened up a little bit, we think that a number of people are being able to get into a clinic at a more convenient time, so we're seeing an increase in the number of people who are not showing up for their appointments, and so we'd like people to be careful to cancel an appointment if you are able to change what you're doing, in that way we can have a better idea of how much vaccine we'll have available. As we're getting better at all of this, it's giving us a much better chance to get everyone in our county vaccinated who desires to have it. That is our number one goal at this point.
Dr. Tharp, we always appreciate your expertise and time. Call us anytime, all right?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Dr. Steve Tharp on the WILO, Clinton County Chamber of Commerce, leading with hope and vision. And we're going to continue the hope and vision here on Party Line with Adam Shanks with the Purdue Extension Office. Hey, Adam.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good this morning. We just talked to Dr. Tharp, and he's saying, you know, let's be careful about things, but let's still live our lives. What's the latest on the Purdue Extension Office as we're in the middle here somewhere of virtual and reality?
Right. Yeah, we're actually moving forward here, and we've had a lot of meetings in person, so... The younger group, the Clover Buds and the mini 4-H'ers had a meeting Saturday, and that went well, and we're having club meetings, and we had a tractor meeting the last night, and we've got another one, so you know, we're practicing social distancing and face masks when we can't be 6 feet apart, but hey, we're getting back together. So that's been good.
It seems like everything is pointed in the right direction, too, for a good 4-H fair this year, too.
Seems like it, yeah. We're still moving forward. We've got people getting enrolled and getting their projects ready, and I think we're going to have a good fair. It looks like everything as far as the spring planting and getting crops ready for ready to go in the ground here is moving along. You know, looking at the Purdue Ag Barometer last month was pretty high, the highest it's been in several months. So that means farmers are feeling good and feeling positive about the way things are going and making some investments in equipment and land and feeling really good about how the overall farm economy is right now, too. So it's a pretty good time overall.
That was my next question is about we are in the prime pre-farming season, and like you said, getting ready to get some things in the ground. It's just been a couple of weeks. I saw my first tractor and people out and about. So people are certainly out and about. The farmers are getting everything ready to go. And it was even one day last week, Ken and I were talking. We saw a farmer actually putting some stuff in the ground.
Yep. Last week was actually really nice. The mm-hmm. soil conditions were dry. You know, the temperature was right. So there was a lot of nitrogen put on, which is our corn crop's biggest nutrient demand is nitrogen. So getting that put on now while you've got some time ahead of planting was really good. A little bit of tillage work going on. It was a great week last week. Really thankful for the around an inch of rain we had over the weekend. It mm-hmm. came real nice and steady. So it's soaking in instead of running off or ponding. And man, by now when it dries off, it'll be go time. So we're really thankful for the way this has played out this weekend so far.
Yeah, it was a nice soaking rain, too. Like you said, it wasn't a downpour where it was bouncing off everything. So, yeah, that was pretty nice. And we certainly needed it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's dry down low. A lot of our tile outlets aren't carrying much water out, and so the subsoil's definitely dry. So this good soaking rain helps build that base back up for moisture, and we definitely need our April showers to bring May flowers.
That's
so we
right.
don't want 3 inches in 2 hours, you know.
right.
To move everything. So, that was a good thing. I don't know if I'll talk to you again or not before, but we do want the listeners to be on the lookout for the 17-year cicadas that are coming out.
Yeah.
This year.
Should be soon, right?
Yeah, so the soil temperature has to be 64 degrees. And right now, my weather station out at Clinton Prairies, we're around 51 to 52, so we've got a bit of climbing. But if it warms up here the end of April to early May, they may go ahead and start to poke out. So that'll be a pretty big change in our sounds and our sights around the woods this year.
You know,
start to come out.
Somebody was asking me about that last week, and they said, well, didn't we have cicadas last year and the year before and the year before? And I think the answer is yes. They're here every year. It's just every 17 years, they're much more prevalent. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's different broods of them. So this is brood X, and it comes out every 17 years, and it'll be a bigger flush of them. They'll be more prevalent. And what you'll see is this summer, you'll start to see they only feed on deciduous trees. So like your ferns and your firs, your evergreens, they won't mess with the deciduous bushes and trees is where they'll actually lay their eggs. And the way they do that, they pierce the bark on the tree and insert their egg into that live material.
Mm.
So we'll see some kind of deadening back of trees this summer, but it's nothing to be worried about. It's natural. It's just kind of a natural pruning of your trees, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We will see that, and then they lay their eggs, and the whole process starts over again. But you'll see a lot more this year. They say your pets will want to mess with them. If they consume too many, they might get an upset tummy, but otherwise they're not any big deal. But, you know, like our geese and our ducks, and we'll see a lot fatter of that type of waterfowl that are gorging on them. So.
All right. They'll get a little extra goodies then, a little snack.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. It's going to be an interesting time to monitor this year because, yeah, it's supposedly going to be a bigger flush than we've seen, you know, since the last 17-year brood came out.
So is there any kind of recipe that we could fix cicadas? Is it something we could put on our barbecue this summer?
Well, I'm sure there are. If you jump on the search engine there, I bet you can find something. I haven't personally explored that, but free protein source around, you know.
Yeah,
I can actually add a little insight to this for you because there was a guy when I used to work at an AM radio station in Bloomington. He hosted like a hunting and fishing show, and he found out, this is mid-2000s, that there was a recipe for cicada scampi. So he did it on the stovetop, and he made 20 of these things, and he said they were really good until the anaphylactic shock kicked in.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was allergic to seafood, and apparently it functions. So he hits number 16, he blows up like a puffer fish.
Wow.
And has now been inclined to not ever do it again.
They've got the same kind of chemicals as shrimp or shellfish do.
Yeah, right.
If you've got a shellfish allergy, you should probably avoid eating them.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you know how that turns out, Adam.
I'm sure you will.
We'll come and sample them.
All right, sounds good. Yeah. Hey, we appreciate your time as always, Adam. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You bet, guys. Hey, just all the farmers are out there on the roads here. Be safe. Share the road. Make sure everybody gets home safe at night. That's all we can ask. So.
All right, Adam Shanks with the Purdue Extension Office. Always appreciate his time. We do have Greg Williamson from the Frankfort Community Public Library. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. I do want to go ahead and play a quick conversation Ken and I had going into our commercial break here Ken and I had discussing and concerning City Council last night, moving forward on a few big projects, and we're going to play that in the commercial break right now. We'll be back with Greg Williamson next from Wylo's Party Line.
This is Party Line,
brought to you on, brought to you by RADI.
WILO, Frankfort, Indiana.
Wylo News Director Ken Hartman, certainly busy going around the city of Frankfort and the county of Frankfort. Ken taking off for a county council meeting this morning, but I was able to grab him a little bit and talk to him. Ken, you had a late Frankfort county council meeting last night.
Yeah, the city council was 2.5 hours long. It got an awful lot accomplished and made a lot of progress on the Iron Block building that the Redevelopment Commission basically agreed to about a week or so ago. Then, of course, the police station and the pool. That were the big items last night.
What did we find out about the pool, first off?
The pool is going to be moved back now. It's already too late, so it will not have a pool next year as we originally thought.
We were hoping for.
Now it looks like it's going to be May of 2023 as of right now.
Okay.
The costs on the pool, it was not determined or not announced last night because most of the costs for the projects they have out there were from 2020, and everything, as they've said, has went sky high. Like lumber has went up 73% in the last since the first of the year. Steel's up 50%, 17% jump in costs overall. So it was anywhere between $8.4 million and $9.3 million at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So and Judy's already said she wants to keep it under $10 million at all costs.
Right. So she said that the other day on Party Line.
Yeah, that's right. But then also, but the city council gave her the permission to sign off on any redesigns for right now.
Okay.
So that means probably like the concession stand will be gone, more than likely,
mm-hmm.
and possibly two other things she said, and I'm not going to get into it.
That's not important. Yeah. We'll find out if we have it or not.
Just take that out.
Right.
But no, that's so she's going to take care of the redesign of that. And then they're going to go back to the council and see what's where they're at. But,
all right. Well, the good news is we're going to get a pool, which we found out a month ago. It may be a little later than we wanted. But, and then also a big thing we've been talking about a lot is the police station. And I was able to see a few artists rendering last night on Facebook. Looks pretty cool.
It does look really cool. And it's going to be a one-story building, which is very unique because they've never had something like that. 7.7 acres. Cost is going to be, down around, it's going to be in good shape for
All right, for the most part, anyway.
I should say it's $7.9
million. Okay, yeah, and that's about what we have heard.
Yeah, they've approved the resolution that says, originally it said $7.9 million in the resolution, but they added a not to exceed $8.5 million.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because they're not real sure of certain things that may or may not have to happen, so... Mm-hmm. And they've also got a lot of extra room in that place. So if they want to expand, they can expand off to the east side of this building.
Okay, very good.
So that'll be, and of course, it'll be out there next to Brock Grain, close down, going east of town. So.
And have plenty of room to expand, too, right?
They're gonna have,
they need to.
Yeah, public parking in the front, the employee parking in the back.
Okay, very good. Is there a basement involved with this, or did they say anything about that?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think they brought up about a basement, but they've got everything. They've got lockers. They've got their, stuff for their evidence and all that.
Right, right.
And they've got, their weight room. They've got a lot of different things, a lot of safety. I can see where some of the public will probably want to go out there and have meetings, possibly. I have a feeling that may happen.
Okay, all right.
So that would be kind of like a building, kind of like the community schools that Frankfurt has.
Multi-use.
Yes, I think that's going to happen eventually.
And before that, you went to, what was it, Board of Works? City Council?
Board of Works always meets 2 hours beforehand. And of course, they only had an hour of that last night. But what basically came out, there was no discussion on the fact that it looks like it's going to be Wednesday or Thursday before the intersection downtown is going to be open.
We're talking about Jackson and Walnut.
Correct.
They're at CVS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then also they did get a new bid on the utility office downtown. C.A. Taylor now up their bid to $70,500. So,
all right.
But one other thing is, like you said, the Iron Block building, they went ahead and they're going to allow what the Redevelopment Commission elected to do about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to stand. So what they're going to do is they're going to start working on those offices and making a new conference room upstairs. That's what the chamber's going to start doing.
Good
after
deal.
They go visit the bank and see them.
And since the Redevelopment Commission helped them out a little bit, they'll have the money to finish that then, hopefully, right with the Iron Block building. That's the hope. That's the hope, anyway.
Yeah, that is the hope. And, but it was one of those nights, Scott saying on the police building, he says, it's going to be our first building we've ever had.
Yeah.
That's going to be strictly for the police station. He said, we've been in the basement of the waterworks, we've been in the basement of the old utility building. We've been
at the post office for 40 years.
That's where they're at
right
now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're actually going to get a building of our own for the first time. So they've been talking about it since 2015. He said, and Judy agreed, it's time.
It is time. Yeah. They were saying that 4 years ago when I came here, Ken.
I know.